You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
John Stashower in for Tony. We are efforting, as we say in the business. Chris Sheridan, basketballnews.com. Chris has been covering the NBA for a long time, so we are hoping to get together with Chris to talk a little about the association, which is winding down its regular season. And then once the regular season ends, I'm not sure exactly the dates and the time frame for all this, before the actual first round of the NBA playoffs is the NBA play-in. And some people are probably not even aware of this or how it works. Normally, eight teams in a conference, and off we go with the first round, 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, etc. No, not this year. The top six are into the first round. The 7th seed plays the 8th seed. One game. Winner is your 7th seed. But it could be the team that actually finished 8th, whoever wins that game. The 9th seed plays the 10th seed. These are two teams that normally season would already be over. The loser of that game, that's it. Go play golf. Then we have a third game between the 7-8 loser and the 9-10 winner. And the winner of that game becomes your 8th seed. LeBron James might be involved in all this. Now, as of now, they're not. The Lakers are, I think, tied with Portland for 5 and 6. So I think, you know, LeBron's going to miss another game, but then I guess he's coming back. I don't think they're going to be in this, but they asked him his thoughts about this, and he said whoever came up with that blank should be fired. A lot of people pushed back, saying LeBron's in no position. He had it easy so many years in the Eastern Conference. I actually agree with LeBron. I just don't see the need for this because I don't care. Now, if your team is if the Lakers are in this, I'll watch because that would be fascinating to see the Lakers and LeBron being caught up in this whole thing. And so let's get the thoughts of Chris Sheridan. He joins us now. BasketballNews.com, on Twitter, at Sheridan Hoops. So Chris was just trying to map out for people that aren't aware how this is all going to work with this play-in thing. And obviously we know what LeBron's thoughts are on all this. What about you? What do you think about what the NBA is doing with this?
Well, I think, John, it's an outgrowth of last year because there was an uneven schedule last year. Like the Suns went 8-0 in the bubble, but they didn't make top 10. They didn't make top 9, and there was one playing game between 8 and 9, and it was very popular. So I think the NBA said, hey, that game was so popular, let's just keep doing this, but let's even expand it, and we'll make it we'll have one play-in game, 7 versus 8. The winner gets the 7th seed. We'll have another play-in game, 9 versus 10. And the winner of that gets the loser of the 7-8 game. But the interesting thing, John, is let's say in the 7-8 game, the 8 team beats the 7 team. That team, the winner of that game gets the 7th seed. So, for instance, right now it's Boston is 7 and Charlotte is 8. So let's say Boston and Charlotte played and Charlotte won. Charlotte's got a worse record. In fact, they're below 500, but because they won that playoff play-in game, they get the 7th seed. So then that would put Boston against the winner of the 9-10 game. Right now those teams are Indiana and Washington. And let's say Boston won that game. Boston would then drop into the 8th seed with a better record than the 7th seed. So you'd have a Boston, if the season ended today, you'd have Boston-Philly in the first round, where Boston has a better record than Charlotte, and then you'd have Charlotte against Brooklyn in the second round, where Charlotte has the worst record of any Eastern Conference playoff team, in fact, any NBA playoff team. So I think it's something that they'll continue to tinker with. I have a mixed opinion of it. It used to be you had to be top 16 to make the playoffs. So you were playing something for something in the regular season. Now you got 20 out of 30 teams are going to be eligible for some sort of postseason appearance, and I think it disincentivizes winning in the regular season, and that's one of the reasons why teams are resting their superstars a lot more, and sort of saving everything for the postseason. I think it's made the net effect that it's had, John, is that it's made the regular season less interesting.
And the regular season will be ending soon, and guys like you will be voting for these postseason awards. The MVP, of course, always the thing that's making the most news. Nikola Jokic, the favorite, and I can see that. But, Chris, I'm fascinated by Coach of the Year. I don't know that there's been a year with three so deserving candidates between Quinn Snyder, Utah, Monty Williams of Phoenix, and Tom Thibodeau of the Knicks. I would probably go with Williams. Who would you vote for, you think, for Coach of the Year?
You're leaving a guy out. Doc Rivers has got the Philadelphia 76ers at the top of the Eastern Conference, and he's got Joel Embiid, when he plays, playing with a fire in his belly and playing like an MVP. And Ben Simmons is campaigning for Defensive Player of the Year, and Tobias Harris has been terrific. And, you know, Doc's got a lot to make up for sort of in his mind because his Clippers fell apart last year after being up 3-1 in the playoffs. So I think it's really a four-man race. And look, Monty Williams has the Phoenix Suns number one in the West because they have the tiebreaker right now over Utah. 2 weeks ago, I would have told you Quinn Snyder's a lock for this award. Now I'm thinking, no, I think Monty Williams is probably the leader. I would say Doc Rivers is second, and then third is either going to be Tibbs or Quinn Snyder. And Tibbs has the Knicks 9 games over .500, and let's see how they do on this Western swing because they're out West for quite a while now. And right now they're 9 games over .500. If the trip goes poorly, then, you know, they probably, if it's a 500 trip, then they stay 9 games over .500. But if they're able to string together a bunch of wins, Tom Thibodeau could leap into first place in that race because, you know, look, you're out of New York, John, or at least you were.
No, you know still how, am. Yeah, no, still am.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know how this city is. Like, even though the Brooklyn Nets are as good as they are, people still love to talk about the Knicks more than they like to talk about the Nets. This is a Knicks town. The Nets have had a fan base in Long Island. They've had a fan base in New Jersey, and now they're in Brooklyn, and they try to pull from all around. But the Knicks have been at the Garden forever, and New York is still a Knicks town. So it'll be interesting. Then another thing is when you're voting, sometimes you throw your picks around like, well, I'm going to have Jordan Clarkson or Joe Ingles as sixth man of the year. So there's kind of my Utah vote. And then Julius Randle is the heavy favorite to be most improved player. So a voter may say, well, I gave my Knicks vote to Randle. So I gotta recognize a sixer somewhere. And that's maybe where Doc gets some votes. That's not the way I think, but I talk to other voters and I know how different voters think. Whenever I vote, like for most valuable player, the operative word is value. Who was most valuable to his team over the course of the season? And, you know, right now, I know Luka Doncic, mixing up my Europeans. Nikola Jokic is a heavy favorite.
I hate when that
played
happens,
in almost
yeah.
every game, but at the same time, the Nuggets are in fourth place. And Chris Paul had some game last night. I got to look up his exact box score line, but Chris Paul's not being talked about in the MVP race. Although Brandon Scoopy Robinson wrote a nice column about, hey, Chris Paul should be considered in the MVP race because look where the Phoenix Suns are and imagine where they'd be without him. Now, Phoenix beat Cleveland last night, 134-118. Chris Paul, 16 assists and no turnovers, along with 23 points.
Wow.
16-0. You know how hard that is to do? And Chris Paul's on the board right now at 100-1 to be MVP. So that I may have a column out of that. It's either going to be that or why are there so many technical fouls being called by hot-headed refs? Or I may write both.
John Stash, our Sports Map Radio with Chris Sheridan talking NBA. Let's talk about the Bucks. I was saying this before. I mean, they had 2 wins over the Sixers. They just had 2 wins over the Nets. No, they were at home for those games. We know the Nets were without James Harden, but it's almost like, you know, Milwaukee having been the top overall seed for 2 years and then fading in the playoffs, people are forgetting about them, how good they can be. You know, they were like 50-8 at one point last year. Could they be helped by the fact that maybe expectations this year in the postseason won't be as high because the regular season wasn't quite as good?
Yeah, John, they kind of spoiled us last year with that crazy start, and they looked like a lock to come out of the East. But what people failed to look at was they couldn't play with Miami. Miami had their number, and Miami was a team that knocked them out in five. Now, like you said, they put together two nice wins against Brooklyn and two nice wins against Philly, sandwiched around four games against middling competition. Then they have two tough games left. They play San Antonio, which is sort of a quasi-tough game because the Spurs are sort of falling apart. But the game, the kind of the barometer game for the Bucks is going to be on the next to last day of the season. They play Miami again. And, you know, they do have a chance to catch Brooklyn for the number two seed, and they're going to have the tiebreaker. So never discount that Bucks team, not with a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo and not with the new point guard. Because remember last year they had Eric Bledsoe, and Eric's a terrific player, but he's got a lot of sort of, you know, tread is off the tire there. He's got a lot of mileage on his wheels. Drew Holiday last year was voted teammate of the year, and Drew Holiday's doing a terrific job for the Bucks. The other guy that you got to really keep an eye on is Chris Middleton, because we've all seen Chris Middleton play at an all-star caliber level during the regular season. Always, but... but look at his postseason stats, and I'll run them past you. For instance, this year he's shooting 42.5% from 3-point range, 89% from the line. Last year he was 96 from the line. He averaged 20.9 last year, 20.4 this year. He's having a very similar season to the one he had last year. He's just playing a little bit more minutes. Now turn to the postseason, and what has Chris Middleton done? Last year, he shot 39% overall. He shot 35% from three, 82 at the line. The year before that, he shot 41% overall, 43 from three, and he only averaged 17 points. So he's a player with a history of not playing as well in the postseason as he does in the regular season. And when you're the number two guy on a team like the Bucks, you know, you got to step up your game in the playoffs, not kind of shrink away. So I think having Drew Holiday on that team is going to be a big factor for them. Drew is an awful lot better than a lot of people may know, and he makes the guys around him better. So certainly don't discount the Bucks by any means. But and it looks to me like the East is a three-team race.
Right.
And that would be Milwaukee, Brooklyn, and Philadelphia. But Jimmy Butler sat out last night, and the Heat didn't win. But the Heat have been playing pretty well lately. And what matters, John, is not how you look in March or April. What matters is how you look at the end of May, at least this year, going into the playoffs. Are you going in healthy? Are you going in with a head of steam? Right now, the only team, right? There's two teams that are going in healthy and with a head of steam. One is Milwaukee, and the other is the Knicks. It's going to be a very interesting Eastern Conference playoffs.
All right, real quick, because we got to run. I got about 30 seconds. But if LeBron is LeBron health wise, are the Lakers your team to beat?
Yeah, I mean, anytime the guy's been to 9 out of 10 NBA finals, you're not really going to bet against him. But they are sitting just one game ahead of Portland for the play-in spot, and they really haven't assimilated Andre Drummond into their lineup. They did go back to Marc Gasol the last game, which some of the players on the team have been calling for. But if they get even one game in the regular season with their entire roster, they'll be lucky. So with Utah playing as well as they're playing, I think Utah might be the team to beat because of the three-point shooting, but I would never, ever, ever, ever bet a penny against LeBron James.
Chris, great talking to you. Appreciate the time. Take care.
All right, Stash. Take it easy.
Chris Sheridan. Check him out, basketballnews.com. We'll take a break, wrap things up on a Wednesday morning, Sports Map Radio.